Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can also catch us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search the Rob O'Donnell Show. Plus, you know, we're right here on your dial from 3 to 6 each day, weekdays. It's 410, 76 degrees here on this Monday, August 25th, 2025. Beautiful few days in store. Going to be cooler tonight. Next 2 days, I think it's going down to the 40s each night. I love it. Love that sleeping weather. Bundle up there, cupcake. So we've had this rash of active shooter or swatting or whatever we're going to call it. There's been a rash of them at some universities around the nation. Villanova has had a few. University of South Carolina, where did I just see one today? UT Knoxville had one today. This is causing Iowa State University, appears to be the latest university, another one today. USC. Alert was triggered by a swatting hoax. So there's been multiple. That's a University of Southern California, University of South Carolina. This seems to be a new thing happening. And what needs to be looked at here, in addition to the crime of calling it a false active shooter at these universities, you also have to look into, and law enforcement is looking into, is this trying to create a cry wolf scenario to where you have multiple false situations and then a planned actual one? Well, that's the thing that's unknown. That's the thing that terrifies first responders around the nation. And they have to respond to each one, believing that it's the real thing. And they always should. You cannot become lax in these types of environments because there are entities, there are people, there are sick-minded individuals or groups that will do just that, create a cry wolf situation to where, you know, response hopefully gets lackadaisical after multiple around the country false reports. And first responders and students and the parents and faculty get in their head, hey, you know, there's been a dozen of these fake things. You know, if the alert goes out in campus and you have professors and students going, oh, this is just another hoax, well, that's what they hope on. And you have to take that into consideration. And it wears on your psyche from the student level to the administrator level to the teacher and professor level to first responders to parents. But think about the thousands of parents who are sending their kids off to college for the first time. Now, we've had to deal with a lot as parents, sending your kids off to college during a pandemic or having them stay home for the first semester for a pandemic. That was interesting, huh? Paying all that money in tuition, and some even paying room and board, wouldn't get refunds for it. But imagine dropping your high school baby, your baby girl, your baby boy, because they'll always be that. I don't care if they're 30. You know, you finally let them go off to college. They got into the college of their dreams, Villanova, University of South Carolina, University of Tennessee, Knoxville. All these schools have had these swatting or fake hoax active shooter calls. And getting that text message, getting that alert on your phone. You sign up for the alerts for your college. You follow all the social media pages. And then all of a sudden, mere days after you drop them off, you get that text message, active shooter. Everyone's nightmare. And the mental anguish that puts these people through. Is this just someone getting their jollies with these folks? Is it some troll with these hoaxes that are getting laughs out of it? Is it a criminal act to where they actually want to harm people by hoaxing them? Or is it setting up an environment for a cry wolf? environment to where there is something planned. Now, there is no real rhyme or reason to where these are happening. We have enough to worry about in society than this nonsense. This day and age, there are a lot of techniques to track down individuals. But there's also a lot of technology to help shield them. You know, VPNs and bouncing them off, all of this could be coming from all around the world. You know, we've seen that some of the hoaxes and scares and threats to our local school districts here, what came from Peru? So even if we do identify where it's coming from, are we able to do anything about it? Is another example. And I wish there was an easier method to help families into this, because this, I mean, Villanova could affect us. I'm sure there's people in our area that were affected by these calls. And I don't care if your child is a freshman in college or a graduate school in college. You're still, as parents, as family, have the same fear for their safety, especially in the times we live in where active shooters are very real. They do happen. But complacency is the hope on a lot of levels. Even somebody who may not be involved in it, say, hey, I mean, you're dealing with sick individuals that just want to cause mass carnage, want to cause as much destruction as they can, cause chaos. Hey, you know what? There is a lot of complacency right now because of all these hoaxes. I was planning, or we were planning on doing something, you know, is now the time. And you have to take that in consideration. And I know the FBI, I know our campus police, I know our local police, especially here where we have multiple college towns, are taking this very seriously. And again, complacency is the enemy here, and that's for everyone. It's hard, again, to deal with. First responders are trained to deal and respond to this. School staff and professors are now trained to deal and respond to this. Students have been in an environment to where it's been talked about for decades now, to where they're at least desensitized to the possibility and what to do. And there's drills that have been embedded in them from grade school through high school through now college. But parents, being away from their kids for the first time, there is no training manual there. And again, yes, we've dealt with this with high schools around the nation and such. But again, desensitizing this is the goal. So we do need to take everyone seriously. We do need to respond to everyone like it's the real thing. And I don't care if it's the fifth one or the 10th one or the first one. The fact these are going on, that's a separate investigation. And that needs to continue until it comes down. If you are having trouble with coping with things like this, you know, reach out to your healthcare providers and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on in the world. This is going what's on in my kid's school. I'm having a hard time dealing with this. You know, do I need to talk to someone? Do I maybe need some medication? Do I need something? Do I need to take up something like daily walks to help build off the anxiety from my system? There are plenty of avenues. But don't go unnoticed either, you, the parents, the people dealing with this, and the students. Talk to your kids. If your kids are away at college, have that ongoing dialogue with them and say, hey, you know, these hoaxes at colleges for these swattings or active shooters are happening all over. It's a possibility it could happen at your school. Just know about it. You know, these kids today, the college especially, they're focused on a lot of things. You know, maybe they're not focused on the national news. Say, make sure you have a plan. Make sure you look around. You know what you're doing. You know what to do in case it happens and where your classes are. How's your dorm? Could you fortify your dorm? Can you fortify your dorm room? Don't take it for granted and brush it off saying, well, there's been a dozen hoaxes. This is just another one of those. Until it's too late. And it's too late to respond to it. But there's been more and more of these. You know, it started off on Friday with just Villanova. And since then, there's been, you know, I'm looking right now at maybe over a half dozen throughout the nation. And again, University of South Carolina bring one. University of Tennessee in Knoxville is another. Villanova was, what, two, maybe three times? So, University of Arkansas today was on lockdown. So, have the conversation. Make sure they're aware of what's going on in the news. Hopefully, law enforcement does what they do best and quickly. And again, if it's from a foreign nation, how much can they do? I guess we'll see. It's just sad this day and age. We need to deal with this on top of everything else. And again, the multiple layers of parents sending their kids off as freshmen to college for the first time away from home ever. Kids being away from the first time home for in forever. And then having to deal with these fears. Make sure you talk to them. Have a conversation. In the conversation of how was your first day? How was your second day? You know, how are your classes? How are your professors? Say, hey, you know, do you know this is going on around these campuses all around the nation? Just, you know, be aware of your surroundings, situational awareness. Have them talk to someone in school if they need to. If they're home for the weekend, bring them somewhere where you feel comfortable bringing them, one of their healthcare providers. So we'll see. And we'll keep monitoring this, and we'll keep bringing you the information that you need on these tragic active shooter hoaxes that are happening. Like, well, again, we don't have enough to deal with. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 427, 77 degrees. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Let me give the phone. We have Larry from Scranton.
How you doing?
How
really
are you?
Enjoying your show.
Appreciate it.
You were talking before about Paige Cognetti possibly running for higher office.
Well, that's what two news organizations have said. The New York Times and the Times Tribune, in an opinion piece, said that it's a very good possibility. So,
well, that's up to her. But this is coming from a 67-year-old lifelong Scranton Democrat, registered Democrat. I haven't voted straight Democrat in probably about 35 years. I vote for the person, not the party. And I don't think there's a serious Republican candidate on the ballot, not in about 10 years. They just don't seem to be stepping up to the plate because they know it's a Democratic city and a county.
Do you think that's a hindrance for the city of Scranton, that no viable Republican, in your eyes, will put their name on a ballot?
Yes, I believe so. But there's good candidates out there. I just don't think they want to step forward because they know it's a losing situation because people are blind. You know what I mean? They just think that it's a losing cause.
Yeah, I mean, and people must not, like yourself, must not be happy in Scranton because there was a primary. There are several candidates running to unseat, not just a Republican, in this election. So, I mean, how do you feel about someone as running for mayor, asking for your vote as mayor for a second term or another term, and planning to run for another office to leave town in just a couple of months?
Well, that's up there. If she wants to do that, that's fine. I just wish there would be some more serious Republican candidate to step up. There are more serious Republican candidates, but they don't want to step forward. Just like one example, this is just off the top of my head. You got a guy in town, Chuck Volpe. His father was assistant mayor, whatever you call it. Great guy, great family. I think Chuck just got too big for his britches. He's, you know, you got guys like him that could certainly step in, and you know they just don't want to be bothered.
Have you approached any of these Republicans to see and say, hey, you know, if you ran, I would support you as a Democrat?
No, I haven't, but I'm sure they know there's people out there that would.
Yeah, but I mean, what I think it would be a good for people in your position to go out there and say, hey, you know, we really don't have much of a choice here. You're someone that we would look at. You're someone that I would look at as a lifelong Democrat or a 30-year Democrat here in Scranton. You know, why don't you think about it? Because maybe that encourages them to say, hey, you know what? Maybe there is enough out there to where we can overcome that Democrat majority for something different.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'll look into that.
Well, that's what I would do, Larry, if I was in your position. Go out. I mean, sometimes it takes people to go out and, you know, people are out there, and like you said, very good candidates that may not realize themselves or look at themselves as a candidate. Just a very good, well-spoken manager of anything to where you think, hey, I think you do a good job coming in here and doing something. Have you ever thought of this? Here I am, you know, registered for another party, but, you know, I would be very interested in someone like you running. Maybe it takes that to get that blood you're talking about, that new vibe in there.
I don't think it's going to take too long. You know, people are starting to wake up, I hope. And I don't think it's going to take too long for these people to come around. You know, I'm not talking about people jumping on Trump's bandwagon. I'm talking about people that just see what's happening in the country and, you know, sick of the same old in Lackawanna County and Scranton, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what
something's got to change.
Right now with the election coming up for mayor of Scranton, what would be your number one priority in the city of Scranton? What's your number one topic that you would like to see addressed?
Oh, I would say not blight per se, but I would say just the way that the city is, people not taking care of their yards. Like in my own neighborhood, everything is rentals, out of town landlords. It's just not the same neighborhood I'm accustomed to. I've been here 42 years now in my neighborhood, and I'm sure it's the same all over the city. It's rentals, you know, people buying up properties. That's the main thing in Lackawanna County. Scranton, Lackawanna County, rental properties all over the place, and nobody cares about their neighborhood anymore. Nobody.
All right. Someone who's been there long enough, 4 decades, obviously has a good view on the point. Larry, I appreciate you calling in.
Okay. Take it easy.
Thank you. It's 4:33 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. The point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement throughout the Commonwealth, and today I'm happy to announce we don't have any from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So that's truly a good thing, always. Got some messages in. Some people brought up that Mark Payne has stepped up. Mark, great guy. He's running for city council. He's not running for mayor. So, yes, he's running for city council in Scranton. And I suggest you give him a look if you live in Scranton. But he is not running in the mayor's race. Somebody also said that Chuck Volpe's from Dunmore and lives in Clark Summit. Don't know that for a fact, but that may be one of the reasons why he's not involved. So those are some text messages we got in regards to that case. And again, if you're a voter in Scranton, regardless of your party affiliation, you know what concerns you? I think it's highly relevant because you possibly have someone running for mayor asking for your trust and vote that is willing to walk away and leave it to the Democrat committee to choose someone to be the mayor of Scranton. And then give you another election down the road? Or do you just choose different now? Well, that's up to you, the voters. And the voters of Scranton will decide that. And again, it's unprecedented that it has not happened to where someone ran for mayor and federal office at the same time. So I guess there's always a first, but it'll be interesting to justify that to voters. Unless you're willing to be a stepping stone, and then so be it. Not far to our east, you have more problems when it comes to mayors in New York City. Zohran Mamdani wants to end all misdemeanor charges. They're calling it an easy pass for criminals. Now, think about that. How could you possibly do that? How is that even possibly a thing? End all misdemeanor charges. Listen, I'm pretty much a law-abiding citizen, but if you said, hey, Pennsylvania, we're doing away with misdemeanor charges, I'm probably going to punch a couple people in the face. It's just, I mean, come on. It's human nature. The threat of a penalty for violating a law is a big reason why the laws aren't violated. We've seen what happens when you take away, when they said you needed to steal over $900-something worth of merchandise in California, people went in with these stores with shopping bags and chose up to, it's great how their math was, chose just up to $900 before they walked out with the stuff because they knew they wouldn't be charged with anything. They would just be let go and people would just let them on their merry way. Doing away with all misdemeanor charges. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. To the point where, I mean, I'm speechless when I read these things. For all the working class to achieve collective liberation, we must constrain, diminish, and abolish the carceral forces of the state, from prisons to police themselves, to their manifestos in all forms throughout society, according to the National Party's latest platform from the Democrat Socialists of America. Strange. Bad idea, but strange that he's even gaining ground. And what is there, an 80-something percent chance he'll be the next mayor? It's city suicide is what it is. It's 4:42 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, but I'm going to get to that in just a second because I do have a phone call. I want to get to Mark in Scranton. Mark.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I was actually running between events from between work and, you know, hitting the campaign trail. There's a thousand things to do. But your last caller, I think it was your last caller, Larry, saying that there's no viable candidates, the Republican candidates anyway. And, you know, unfortunately, the media in this city has shunned Republicans. I mean, they do a lot of damage to it, the paper media anyway. And, you know, and that's an issue. I get out, I mean, I'm out there, I'm meeting people every day, and I'll talk to them. We'll talk on, you know, like he has an issue with Blight. I'll tell them the situations and how I feel that I want to repair this and address it. And they look at you and they say, wow, that's a really good idea. You know, and you're somebody I could get behind. And I'm like, well, good. I appreciate that. And they said, you're a Democrat, right? I said, no, I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Republican. Oh, yeah. I can't vote for you. And why? Well, because you're a Republican. I just can't vote for a Republican. Unfortunately, I run into that so many times because people in this area are just so brainwashed that they've got to vote Democrat. They have to vote, you know, there's legacy names that they always vote. They just basically pull straight D, even though you can't do that anymore, but they just go right down the D's and they do, and they write them in, whether they know them or not. I mean, this last primary, I talked to so many people, and they're like, oh, these two guys are really good. And I'm like, yeah. I said, they're okay guys. I said, what do you know about them? Well, he says, you know, the one guy's a senator. I said, why would a senator be running for council? Oh, well, who is he? I said, he's not the senator. I said, it's a nephew. Oh. He says, well, then what about the other guy? He's a sheriff. I said, that's not the same name. I said, that guy that's a sheriff lives in Jessup. This guy is on the school board. Oh. So they don't even do the research as far as it concerns with their own party. And that's why it's even harder for Republicans to get out and reach them. We have a lot of great candidates on the slate going in this year. Trish Bynum. She's a great Republican. She's running on the Republican ticket for mayor. We have Vanessa Leonard. She's running for Register of Wills. And there's several of them. I wish people would actually reach out, talk to us, meet with us, show up at one of our events, find out what we're about, and really see that we're not this big, mean ogre that the Scranton Times has made out to be.
Yeah, and again, we're speaking to Mark Payne right now, who's running for Scranton City Council. I had a couple text messages in saying that you were a very good, viable candidate to run for mayor, and I said, hey, he's there, he is a viable candidate, but he's running for city council, not for mayor during this run. And you're correct. I mean, unfortunately, there is not that platform to where they want to present everyone equally to the public.
Right.
But when you have a 40-year Democrat resident of Scranton calling and saying, hey, I'm looking for something different. I want more and better Republicans to run. Well, that's saying something itself. Democrats better start getting nervous in Scranton. I mean, if you look at the county politics, if you look at Lackawanna County compared to every other county around us that's Republican run, look at the financial situation of Lackawanna compared to those counties, and it speaks for itself. The city of Scranton, you know, where they received $68.7 million in ARPA funds over the past 4 years, that's a third of their annual budget. It's kind of hard not to be successful when you have that kind of influx of cash. But now that that cash is no longer available, now that that cash is not padding your operational budget to do the things you need to do, it's going to be a little more difficult. And it seems it's funny that that's when somebody may be looking to jump ship.
Right, and you know, hopefully they do. Hopefully they realize that the money that was spent, a lot of that ARPA funds went to waste. A lot of it, I mean, we're in dire need of the pool up in Naog. That should have been done. It should have been paid for. We could have used the ARPA funds for it. This administration lied to council. Council didn't actually look into it any deeper than just believing what they were told.
Well, not only were they lied to and said they were lied to, is they even gave themselves a budget to do an investigation that they haven't acted on because of the lies that were told to them.
Oh, yeah. Council has the ability to do investigations. They have subpoena power, you know, to bring people in and talk to them. They don't do any of that. It's a very lazy council that we have right now. And the ones that are taking it on the chin are the taxpayers. You know, and 90, you know, we're Democrats outnumber Republicans in the city almost 3-1, and that's a huge hurdle to overcome with any election. So, you know, trying to get these people on the same page, you know, the more I get out, the more I talk to people, and the more they'll sit and they look at me and they're like, well, are you kidding me? And I'm like, no. And I start telling them things. And I said, listen, I'm not making this up. You can look up these facts. You can find them anywhere. I said, you just got to dig a little bit. And, you know, when they'll come back to me and they're like, geez, I never knew that. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like right now, we don't do in-house payroll. There was a company out of town that they were doing it down in, I believe, New Jersey. Well, I just found out yesterday or Saturday at one of my events, one of the people that work in City Hall, because a lot of them are trying to come feed me a ton of information. And they said, you know, just so you know, the mayor farmed it out to a company in Florida. So if there's an issue, there's nobody even local that we could go to. I'm like, really? She said, yeah. And I said, well, that should have been a bid. Nope, there was no bid. There was no bid process. She cut it out, hired this company out of Florida to do it. So, I mean, now when we have a problem with our payroll, I mean, I'm sure you've encountered working in different places that sometimes there's a payroll issue. Well, you call the company up or you contact them. They're maybe at the furthest in another county. You get it handled. Now we have it in Florida, so now you got a FedEx thing back and forth, and hopefully get the piece of people paid or get the issue straightened out. But these are little things that council should be involved in. They should know about. They should be aggressively, you know, digging in and saying, why did we hire a company out of Florida when there's 1,000 payroll companies in Lackawanna County alone, not even Scranton, but in Lackawanna County all the way around that we could have hired. It's things like that, little things like that we have to pay attention to. So it's really disturbing. The Times will never report anything like that. They'll never come up on it. Anytime they talk about any of the Republicans when they put us in the paper, it's, you know, even, you know, our commissioner, Chris Chernak, whenever they they'll tag him on something, and they've done it with me in the past as well. And it's not businessman Mark Payne or anything like that, or Chris Chermak. It's always MAGA Republican Chris Chermak or Trump Republican Mark Payne or something like that. And they always try to tag it to the Trump campaign in the Trump administration, because they know very well that Scranton is not a Trump-supporting town, which that's fine. But why try to damage my credit bill or any other Republicans? And that's what they seem to like to do.
Yep, you're 100% there. Mark, do you have any events coming up you want to tell people about?
Well, the 22nd of September, we're going to have another event. I'm not sure of the location yet. Actually, Rob Bresnahan is going to come in for me. And we're going to sit and, you know, basically like a little town hall. People want to come in and meet our congressman. And I have any questions for him that, you know, that there are these issues where the media is basically lying with the Medicaid and all the cuts that they're talking about. Come in if he's going to be there. You don't have to rely on the Scranton Times to tell you a fairy tale. You can ask the congressman himself. I'm sure Chris Chermak will be there. If there's any issues that you have on the taxes, you know, you can ask him. And then, again, I'll be there, of course. Chris Biden will be there. You could ask us, you know, what our issues are, what our plans are for the future of the city, and how we plan on handling anything.
All right. Mark Payne, he's running for Scranton City Council. Mark, thanks for checking in with us today.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
All right. It's 4:55 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So I got some good news and I got some bad news. The bad news is that a new study out of Harvard has established a link between eating potatoes and increased risk of developing diabetes. But the good news is that not all potatoes are equal. There are plenty of spuds you can keep on your plate, but one preparation is clearly the downside. Basically, if you eat potatoes in the form of French fries, you have a 20% higher risk of developing diabetes. But baked potatoes, mashed potatoes, and other potato types did not give that risk. They found that eating 3 servings of French fries a week spiked diabetes chances by 20%. But other types of potatoes, including baked or mashed, did not do that. That being said, they also found that replacing any type of potato with whole grains can lower your type 2 diabetes risk by 4%. And swapping fries for whole grains, that'll cut risk by 19%. While even replacing them with refined grains like white bread makes a positive difference. But moral of the story, if you're a potato eater, go with baked potato, go with mashed potatoes, fried potatoes, French fries, and the such, may, as per this Harvard study, increase your risk for diabetes by 20%. I know. Now, moderation is the key here. This is 3 servings a week. I mean, I don't eat 3 servings of French fries a week. Hopefully you don't. Probably eat about 3 servings of French. I don't know if I eat 3 servings a month. But what I do is cut my potatoes into wedges and bake them, little seasoning on them, so they're not deep fried. So just a little FYI for you. It's coming up on 5 o'clock here on WILK News Radio.